guest has his own theme song. He has reached a certain level on the Prager Show. I have to acknowledge that. Hello, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Twice a year, I devote an hour to your health with a man who I respect as a man and respect as a physician because he is my own. So I'm preaching what I practice and practice what I'm preaching. Dr. Michael Richman, and I'll give you his credentials here. He's got more initials after his name than most people. MD, FACS, FCCP, a diplomat of the American Board of Surgery and the American Board of Thoracic Surgery. He's a cardiac surgeon. A fellow of the American College of Surgeons. A fellow of the American College of Chest Physicians. Listed by Consumers Research Council of America in the Guide to America's Top Surgeons. And he heads the Center for Cholesterol Management in Los Angeles. And many of you have seen him and know what I know, that he saves our lives. And I do believe that. I would never exaggerate on something as significant as that. I think that is true for my own life, and I think that is true for many others. Dr. Michael Richman, first of all, welcome back to the Dennis Prager Show.
Welcome, and once again, a nice introduction. Thank you.
You're very kind, and you deserve it. You're a very, very serious man in your work, and I appreciate your views. This is the man who made me aware of why the cholesterol counts that so many Americans get, the vast majority who do ever get their cholesterol measured, teach you nothing about what is truly problematic. And since I'm so good at recounting this, I'll do it and then let him talk the rest of the time. Here's the story, folks, and you correct me if I get any detail wrong. I'm very serious about this because this is life-saving stuff. The vast majority, nearly every cholesterol test, tests how many people are on your highway, not how many cars are. Your highways are your blood vessels. Now, do we care on any highway in America? When there's traffic, does anybody care how many people are traveling? Of course not. Traffic is entirely measured by how many cars, how many vehicles are traveling. So measuring the passengers is idiotic. What if there were 10 passengers in one vehicle, or 10 vehicles with one passenger each, which causes more traffic? So why don't we measure the vehicles? And we don't. And this, you can have it done, and I'm not selling any product to you folks. I don't care where you go. But somebody has to measure, what is the word for those vehicles?
Lipoprotein particles.
That's it. That's it. Go ahead.
Right. This has been our theme, and this is, as I said earlier to you, once again, in 1967, the lead article in the New England Journal by Dr. Friedrichsen from NIH, it's called the Friedrichsen Classification today, wrote essentially, this is a lipoprotein. In other words, it's a car disorder, not a cholesterol or a person disorder. So yesterday I met with a bunch of physicians and they said to me, a novel idea. And I said, boy, 1967.
Well, it was novel in 67. That's what they meant.
Exactly.
It was a novel idea in 1433, but today.
So the point is that if you can't drive the people or the cholesterol into the artery wall, it's irrelevant how much cholesterol there is. And we know that 50% of the population, at least 50% of the population who has, quote, normal cholesterol does not and is missed by conventional testing.
Which is why, my dear friends, among many other reasons, but this is the chief one, I have Dr. Richman on however times a year I have him on. This, I want to save your life. And when we read of people getting heart attacks, for example, dying of strokes, and, well, especially heart attacks, and then you read, but they were under cholesterol management, you realize they didn't have the right numbers to deal with. They thought they had okay numbers.
Right, and that was Tim Russert, and we had talked about it, and there were signs in his normal lipid panel. His triglycerides were high and his good cholesterol was low. And if it's a ratio that people don't look at, that even though he was treated, he had too many particles. And every day you see in the newspaper somewhere in the United States, either a firefighter or a policeman has died in the line of duty because the chief of the Torrance Fire Department, who's a friend and a patient, sends it to me because he is acutely aware of this, dies in the line of duty from cardiovascular disease. In fact, 48% of all firefighter deaths on duty are heart attacks.
That's quite a statistic. Who would ever know that? Now, here's another reason that if you are young, you should be listening. Because totally understandably, you think, oh, well, I'll worry about this stuff when I'm 50. You may have heard the news item, and I read it to you here from Reuters, for example. This has happened, it would happen, 2 days ago. Well, the article is from 2 days ago. Norwegian swimming champion Dale Oen died of heart disease. Norwegian swimmer Alexander Dale Oen, the world 100 meters breaststroke champion. Think, folk, you think he was in good shape? He's 26 years old and the world champion in the 100 meters breaststroke. Do you know what? Do you know what an amazing shape that guy is? It's such a hard stroke. You know, just moving the upper part of your body. Exactly. And why did he die of heart disease? Do you know about this case?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Well, his autopsy showed that he had severe three-vessel coronary artery disease. In other words, the major three arteries were blocked. He had a previous heart attack, and he died of a heart attack. Hence, he had familial hypercholesterolemia, which we had talked about, which is the most common genetic disease in the United States. 1 in 300 to 500 people have familial hypercholesterolemia. But we don't have it checked. Enough so, the American Academy of Pediatrics says that every 10-year-old in the United States should have at least regular testing. Not the fancy testing, but at least test them early because we know that atherosclerosis starts at birth. Hmm. And
So if he were your patient, and I'm putting you on the spot, and I don't even expect your answer to be yes, but could you have saved his life?
Well, if I would have seen him younger, like I have some patients who are 8, 9, 10, couple who are 13 whose fathers died in their late 20s, early 30s of a heart attack, you can certainly intervene and treat him aggressively. I'm not going to tell you if 100% I could have saved his life.
Yeah.
But I can promise you that his family history gave you good clues because there were probably at least one or two people that suffered a premature death, very premature death from coronary artery disease or a stroke. But in risk factor scoring, we don't even look at that. That's why I don't even risk factor score people, because on paper, this guy's a low-risk patient. So why even bother? But the government, who sets the guidelines, says, okay, this person will qualify because they have XYZ, but unless you have at least two risk factors for heart disease, and there's five, you don't even qualify for risk factor scoring. So we're underestimating people's true risk to begin with. And then people come out, if you remember in the LA Times, that article that said statins don't benefit low-risk patients.
Explain statins.
Statins are the mainstay of therapy. You know, the drugs like Crestor and Lipitor. They're the drugs that block the production of cholesterol and also increase the number of parking spots in the liver, essentially, where the lipoproteins park. So the LA Times, if you remember, wrote this, and we wrote a rebuttal letter, and they published it, and I said they were wrong. Well, voila, finally what came out on May 16th in Lancet was the biggest to date meta-analysis done by the cholesterol treatment trialist collaborators, and they looked at 175,000 individuals. And this isn't the Cochrane review, which the year before they had looked at it and they said that statins benefit low-risk patients, but there was some information that was lacking. Now, finally, scientists actually looked at 27 large statin trials, and they found that in low-risk patients, vascular events were decreased 21% for every drop of one. Their unit in Europe is millimole per liter in LDL cholesterol. So in other words, statins benefit everybody. And they're enough to make their comment. The author said this, and I think this is pretty telling. Everybody over 50 should now be eligible for statin therapy. and this is published in Lancet.
All right, well, which is the most distinguished of the British medical papers. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Michael Richman, and I'll tell you where you can get this test, because I hope you'll have an answer for that so that people around the country will know. Back in a moment. Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. A couple of times a year, I have this wonderful physician on my show, and he saves lives. I may be one of them. I mean, we can't know for sure, but I think I am a massive beneficiary of this man, and I want to share him with you. And there's no other reason except this. That's the whole reason for my show anyway, is to try to help people, to be honest. Dr. Michael Richman, cardiac surgeon, and he directs the Center for Cholesterol Management in Los Angeles. It is up. You say it's up? Is that what the signal was? It's up at DennisPrager.com. It's a link there? Fine. I want to know, because I know that a lot of people would like to have the test. And again, remember, cholesterol tests, and I entirely believe this, cholesterol tests are... And I don't blame anybody, except I think you'd think doctors would be a little more up on these on this matter, but I'm not here to blame anybody. You're not getting the right measurements, because they measure passengers, not cars, in your arteries and your veins. And that's a big problem. So if you want this test and you don't live in Los Angeles, actually the place that does it is in Richmond, Virginia. You send your blood samples to Virginia, correct?
Right. Health Diagnostic Labs, which is a newer lab based in Richmond, Virginia, I would really be dead in the water without them, because they are the most comprehensive cardiovascular lab in the world. They do testing that nobody else does. And the beautiful thing about it, why it's so wonderful for patients, as long as you have some type of insurance or Medicare or Medicaid, you don't get balanced bills. So whether your doctor thinks or not, every gene test relating to cardiovascular disease, markers of inflammation, omega-3 index, which we'll talk about, that nobody provides, basically it's free. And you're providing...
I just would add, if it weren't free, I would ask you to do it. And if you had to borrow the money from your uncle, I would do it. That's how much I believe in this test. So let's say a listener doesn't live here in Los Angeles. How do they have their doctor know about this?
Well, they can Google Health Diagnostic Laboratories, okay? Some LabCorp's supposed to be familiar with it, which is one of the biggest labs in the United States.
Okay, all right, fair enough, yeah.
But they're not. So if you Google Health Diagnostic Laboratories... And they make it very easy because they pay for shipping. They do everything. It costs the doctor.
So why don't people just tell their internist or their cardiologist, doc, I'd like you to send my blood to this lab.
Well, because like yesterday I met with several doctors in Thousand Oaks just to talk to them. And what they said to me is, I don't know what any of this stuff means to begin with. So how's it going to change my
medicine? They don't know about lipoproteins.
They don't know about markers of inflammation, lipoproteins. And then we talked about the omega index, which Dr. Bill Harris, which
all
I
right, let's talk about the omega index. Go ahead.
So Dr. Bill Harris, who's the world's authority on fish oil, who had his own company and now joined Health Diagnostic, developed an index, which is a biomarker of fish oil intake and a biomarker of cardiovascular risk. And what it does is it measures the amount of fish oil within the membrane of a red blood cell, okay? And the two components of fish oil that save are EPA and DHA. So now we finally have a test to say, hey,
it's amazing.
I'm taking enough fish oil. Now, the importance of it is, in the JELIS study, J-E-L-I-S, out of Japan, they looked at 18,000 people who were already on statins. And remember, the Japanese already eat fish, so they have a higher baseline fish intake. And those people with an index greater than 8 had a 19% reduction of cardiovascular events over people who had a lower index.
Now, how significant, I want to be utterly honest with myself and my listeners, how significant is 19%? When I hear that, I ask, so what does that really mean? And what does it really mean? If a 19% better chance of X or Y, is that significant?
Well, I think in this case, absolutely, because I can't think of a more inexpensive, non-harmful way to lower your risk, okay? Because that's one in five people, basically, won't have an event, you know, 19% reduction, right? So taking fish oil, it's beneficial. It's cheap.
Are all the fish oils out there? At
no, they're all, that's, I mean, that's a different,
well, then, you know, well, all
that's
right,
a
so
whole,
let's
that's
address
a whole story
it.
In itself.
What is the story?
Well, first of all, I'll mention krill oil because a lot of people talk about that. Krill oil is basically, it's a little bit more bioavailable. In other words, the body needs less of it to raise levels. The problem is if you look at the cost versus benefit, it's so expensive compared to traditional omega-3s that it doesn't justify
okay
spending it. But omega-3 fatty acids, the problem is that, first of all, everybody says pharmaceutical-based. Okay?
It means nothing.
Pharmaceutical. There's only one company that makes pharmaceutical fish oil, GlaxoSmithKline, and it's called Loveza. And it's, your insurance will only pay if your triglycerides are over 500. So that's a pharmaceutical company. The rest, everybody makes the claim.
Right, but it means
okay
nothing.
They're not pharma. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, the industry's not regulated, as we've talked about. The whole vitamin nutraceutical industry. I have found there are two companies that are outstanding vitamin companies that pay watchdog groups to monitor their manufacturing, and that's Metagenics and Orthomolecular. Okay, two companies that make just outstanding products. But the biggest problem is if you look at a fish oil bottle, they all say 1,000 milligrams on it, okay? And Kirkland brand from Costco, their standard, if you turn the side, in each 1,000 milligram tablet, it only has 180 plus 120 of EPA and DHA of 300 milligrams of fish oil. So if I tell you, Dennis, the American Heart Association says you've had a heart attack and you need 2 grams of fish oil a day, you're going to take 2 tablets. Well, no, really what you're taking is 600 milligrams instead of 2,000 milligrams because people don't understand that it's EPA
so that,
and DHA.
So I understand exactly what you're saying, and I'll say it in layman's terms in case it was. I think you said it's perfectly clear, but I'll say it. I'll restate it. On your bottle, when you buy the fish oil, they give you the amount of whatever is in the pill. They don't tell you. They do if you turn the bottle around, but on the front, if it says 1,000 milligrams, which is 1 gram, of fish oil. But it's not a gram of fish oil. It's a gram of pill.
Correct.
The fish oil is a very small component, and you need to take a certain amount of the fish oil. The rest, what is the rest of the pill? Water? I mean,
vitamin E, vitamin C.
Okay, right, which is fine, but irrelevant to the point.
Correct.
So you need a certain amount of fish oil to do, but if I take enough of those Kirklands, will it be good for me? Answer me when we get back. 1-8-PRAGER-776, Dr. Michael Richman, my guest. Hello, my friends. Dennis Prager here. And it may be odd to some of you that I, who, for example, am so adamant about giving people the liberty to drink as much soda as they want, even though I'm against it, and people to have the liberty to smoke, even though everybody knows how cigarettes are dangerous. I believe in liberty, but I also believe in health. That's why I have Dr. Michael Richman, this remarkable, remarkable physician who came into my life. And I'm very grateful for it because I really believe, I don't know if he has saved my life, but I think he is saving it. I think because I have, everything has, all every number in me has been better, thanks to you, sir. And I mean it sincerely. And I know how serious you are about medicine, and I am very grateful for your existence, actually. He is a cardiac surgeon, and he is also the head of the Center for Cholesterol Management in Los Angeles. And the test that we push each time he's on, and then we talk about other new things. But the one thing we repeat each time is the test for your cars, not your passengers, that are clogging your highways known as your blood vessels. That test is available through, what is the name of that company again?
Health Diagnostic Laboratories.
Right. And you are, and it's up, it's also up at DennisPrager.com. Everything is at DennisPrager. In fact, it's like a crystal ball. Just go to DennisPrager.com. You get everything. We were talking about the fish oil, and remember when you buy one and how good it is for you, and when you buy one, a product, and it says 1,000 milligrams, it's only about 300 milligrams of fish oil.
That's your standard pill. I mean, just
the standard
quickly
one.
We'll run through it.
But let me just, I want to know this for my listeners. So let's say they'll say, okay, so I'll take three times as many pills. I don't care so long as I get my 1,000 milligrams or whatever. But I want to know, is the quality of the fish oil okay over the counter? Or in other words, you mentioned Costco's Kirkland, which I've taken Kirkland stuff and I thought it was good. But go on.
First of all, if you take a lot of pills, that's a lot of oil. It makes a lot of people sick. Okay, it's
yeah,
disgusting
but you want,
to me.
You want a lot of oil.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want it in a concentrated form where you don't have to take so much oil?
Oh, you mean because there's non-fish oil in there as well?
Well, no, it may give you diarrhea, upset your stomach.
All right, so okay. What's the answer?
Is the highest concentration.
Okay.
Okay, so, for example, Metagenics. You know, I don't push products, and in my offices, all I have is fish oil and vitamin D. Metagenics makes for me, and yes, I have the Metagenics store on my website, but I tell people that most vitamins are unnecessary. But Metagenics, for example, makes a pill that's 720 milligrams per one tablet. Okay, they also make, just like other companies, a liquid fish oil that each teaspoon is 3,000 milligrams of fish. So you're taking then one teaspoon.
Concentrated. Gotcha.
Now the other thing is with the mercury and the PCBs and the dioxins, I hate to tell people, guess what? It's in everything. And a company, at least like Metagenics, publishes a sheet of paper. They say it's in parts per billion, and they'll show you. But mercury and dioxin and PCBs are in all fish oils. It's in everything we eat. It's the way it is. So if anybody says to you that it's free of this and free of that, that is absolutely not true.
Now, you said off the air something that blew my mind about wild versus farmed salmon.
Right. When you get your Omega Index report, okay, it's nice from HDL. There's actually a listing, I think is wonderful, of maybe 30 different fish in the amount of EPA and DHA. The most EPA and DHA, I think it's 1.8 grams, which is 1,800 milligrams, is Atlantic farm-raised salmon. And I think it's 6 ounces of Atlantic farm-raised salmon. So that is the fish that has the most amount of fish oil in it.
And yet we're told all the time, only get wild salmon.
Right.
So you don't agree?
Well, it still has some fish oil in it.
But wild versus farmed. We're told to get the wild.
Well, people need to understand the difference between wild and farmed. It's not what people think. You know, they don't fill them full of hormones.
Okay, fine. Good. It's good to know because the wild is very expensive, and also it could deplete the
I mean, a lot of it has to do with
of wild salmon.
Is it line caught? You know, things like that.
Yep. Okay, we're going to take your calls when we come back. Dr. Michael Richman, cardiac surgeon and very serious physician, is my guest. And a lot of this information is at DennisPrager.com. You are listening to The Dennis Prager Show. Tell you this, you want to live longer, come on a cruise with us. The relaxation and the friendships, I'm serious. They're terrific experiences. That's why a lot of people come back again and again. The next one is very exciting. We didn't take one this year because of the election. I just didn't feel I wanted to be out of the country. So it's a two-year buildup. Plus, it includes a Panama Canal, which even if you've seen it, as I have, is worth seeing again. My guest is Dr. Michael Richman, who is a cardiac surgeon head of the Center for Cholesterol Management in Los Angeles, my personal doctor. And he's so good that I have shared him with you this must be about the eighth time you're on with me. Let's go to some of your calls here And we begin in Frisco, Texas with Joe. Hi, Joe. Dennis Prager.
Yeah, I was wondering if the doctor could talk about the differences between statin and niaspan. I've been on niaspan for years now.
Okay, the difference between statins and niaspan.
Actually, I'm glad you asked this question. We're going to go through it just really quickly. A statin is the mainstay of cholesterol management. Niaspan is actually intended to be a drug as an add-on to a statin to get people to go with their particle number. However, everybody has believed that niaspan should be used to raise one's good cholesterol, HDL cholesterol. And this is what I wanted to bring up, this why this question is so important. In 2011, the AIM-HI trial was stopped by the National Institutes of Health, which was the niaspan trial that everybody had been waiting, because people said niaspan is this amazing drug that's going to raise your HDL, your good cholesterol, into the 90s and save lives. Guess what? They stopped it because it didn't save lives. Actually, they had a higher stroke rate. So I get into that because last week or 2 weeks ago, Roche stopped the trial of their drug called dalcetrapib, which are a new class of drugs that are raising people's HDL into the 90s and 100s. And the first drug was by Pfizer, which tanked. They have spent over $1 billion in R&D. And raising HDL, this concept of raising HDL to prevent heart disease, is not working because these drugs just increase the number. They don't increase the functionality of the HDL. So now all the experts are pleading, please don't give up on these drugs that are going to raise HDL. Well, guess what? Right now, I've given up on them and I never thought about it, because the purpose is, if you keep the LDL particles low and you don't get coronary artery disease, we don't have to worry about trying to find some magic HDL that's going to pull the plaques out of the artery.
The number of good cholesterol, the amount, is not as important as their function.
Well, it's all about functionality. Enough so that also last week a big paper was written.
So wait, so they've spent $2 billion, drug companies, chasing a wild...
And there's two more drugs in the pipeline now. I think Merck has one. But the point is that let's prevent it. Let's not have this idea that somehow we're going to pull the plaque out of the artery wall. Now, it's enough so that last week another paper was written, and it's really interesting. They looked at different genes that lead people genetically to have high good cholesterol, and guess what they found? A lot of these people have high good cholesterol. Their good cholesterol was dysfunctional and artery clogging.
Wow. So then you do care amount of cholesterol, not just amount of bad cholesterol. You're not a big fan, apparently, of raising good cholesterol.
Well, it's not even a primary. Even if you follow the government's guidelines, it's right. Not even a primary or secondary goal. They say you can raise it, but we don't know what to raise it to and if it's going to do any good. And all the studies now are showing, and what I keep telling people, as you know, when they come into my office, is it's just a number. We don't know how to make the HDL more functional. So let's deal with what causes heart disease, and Okay. Those are the particles, the cars.
Sacramento, California, Mike.
Oh, Dennis, thank you for having Dr. Richmond on again. Dr. Richmond, I'll be as quick as I can. First, dietary fat is becoming very popular these days in some circles. There's the, paleo diet's really big, Gary Taubes and everybody. And I know there's been some research that shows that it's not linked with heart disease in the way we thought it was, particularly saturated fat, which was the bad guy forever. And if I could quickly go through, it'll take me less than 30 seconds. You said that a lot of people have, their standard lipo panel is okay, but they're not okay when you look at the LDLP. Is the same reverse also true, that it looks bad if you do a standard panel, but if you look at the LDLP with one of your panels, it's actually not so bad? And with omega-3, is it the omega-3 as an absolute that is good, or is it the ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 that is good? And you'll be happy to know.
All right, okay. All right. Okay. Those were three questions.
A lot of questions.
Yeah. Okay.
The omega-3 index, as I said, is the only test that measures the amount of fish oil within the membrane of a red blood cell. That's the only test that matters. Forget about the ratio between omega-3 and omega-6s. It's not helpful.
What about the fat question?
The fat question is, I hate to burst your bubble, but 99% of the journals, I call them toilet journals. They're not peer-reviewed journals. Okay, people pay to have their articles in it. Saturated fats, animal fats, and tropical oils are saturated fats. They cause coronary artery disease. So anybody could say whatever they want. Okay, you cook with coconut oil, you might as well cook with butter. And the idea of atherosclerosis, the hypothesis and has been generated long ago, and the cause of atherosclerosis is high cholesterol. The American Heart Association talks about it, you know, and saturated fats, coconut oil, not coconut water, is bad for you.
What oil is good for you?
Olive oil is the best.
So our favorite...
The Mediterranean diet, right? The Mediterranean
sardines
diet
and
is
olive oil is awesome.
It's fantastic.
Hey, you could live on it.
I eat cans here.
You
and
do.
There.
You do. We'll be back in a moment. Dr. Michael Richman, I'm Dennis Prager. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Final segment to help your health, particularly your cardiovascular health, which is still the biggest killer in America. Is that correct?
One in two people. So every time you drive by a cemetery, every other tombstone, pretty dramatic, remember this, is cardiovascular death. So once again, I say, if we're doing it right, maybe it should be one in three, but it's one in two, and the prevalence of heart disease is doubling in the next century. We're not doing it right.
And a vast amount of it is preventable if we know what to measure and what to treat.
I think half the problem is first identification.
Right. Which is why this test, which this lab in Richmond, Virginia. By the way, the doctor is not Richmond. The city is Richmond. The doctor is Richman.
M-A-M.
He's not a Richman, but he is Dr. Richman.
Correct.
Correct on both counts?
I know. I'm M-A-N. They're M-O-N-D.
Dr. Richman, this thing, a woman called and then she had to hang up for whatever reason. Her son is a doctor. She wants to send material to convince him to have people have this test. What should a doctor read?
Okay. If you go to my website, everything's free, but you go to the patient section of lipidcenter.com or the professional. I think if this paper doesn't convince, the American Diabetic Association, American College of Cardiology wrote a consensus paper in I think 2008 or 2009 that says the standard of care in patients who have cardiometabolic risk, so any risk, is testing your particles. And it was published in the American Journal of Cardiology. It's a big, guess what? Most cardiologists don't even know it exists. The American College of Clinical Chemists have written a consensus paper. The Canadian Cardiovascular Society have written a consensus paper. There's another huge paper written by 27 lipid guys in 13 countries that was published that this should be done with anybody.
What's the difference between lipid and lipoprotein?
Lipid is the actual cholesterol, the people, and lipoprotein is the carb.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, maybe for next time, the philosophical question, and really don't even answer that because I'm not giving you enough time. Should one be a little saddened by the fact that most people in heart medicine don't know about this test?
Absolutely. You know, the philosophical question really, and it's getting worse, is, as I have to say, is if we are paying physicians less and less and less for time, now the incentive to spend more time
with
people is going
down. And it's
going
to be more, the more the government takes it over, the more that will be the case. Thank you. God bless you, Dr. Michael Richman. I'm Dennis Prager.